Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another broadcast pertaining to the entitlement of our series that we're talking about, and that is pertaining to peace. And of course, not like the peace that the world gives, but the peace, that divine peace that Yah gives. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure that everyone is ready for what the Father is getting ready to share right now, because there are some rich nuggets even in this particular passage and the entitlement of It Is Well With My Soul. And most of you probably are aware of an author of the song pertaining to It Is Well With My Soul. But we're going to dive into an understanding of what does it take for you and I, for me, to truly be able to walk in, to live in, to be well with my soul when situations and circumstances happen. Now, before we do that, I'm Rabbi John Adkins. And before we do that, I'm going to introduce Evangelist Tanita. And we will start off this particular series with the Before Torah blessing. Evangelist Tanita, if you would please.
Yes. Welcome, everyone, and the Before Torah blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kesanu b'mitzvotav v'tzviyanu lasof b'devrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos. Yo nos ordeno abusarmos en las palabras de la Torah.
Shalom, shalom. Okay. Well, what we're going to begin to do now is we're going to go over the passages and the messages that we've talked about before. But before we do that, Father, I just give you thanks for this time. I give you thanks for just forgiving me for my sins, my iniquities, and my transgressions. I thank you for this time of unleavened bread where we have the opportunity in your feast to begin to look into an understanding of where we are, begin to purge, begin to allow ourselves and allow the Ruach HaKodesh to begin to search in us to see if there is any leaven, anything that is not pleasing to Yah. Not only in our conscious understanding and in our homes, in the natural, but in our inner person, in those areas that, you know, that those closets, those spiritual closets that haven't been opened in such a long, long time, that we've probably forgotten some of the faults and some of the weaknesses and some of the sins that we've committed. Father, we submit this to you right now. We ask that as you begin to move and as you begin to do what you do best, and that is rule and reign over our hearts and over our minds, over our cities and over our states and over our countries, over our nations, over this world, we allow you the preeminence. We allow you to truly be sovereign, not in word only, but in our actions and in our day-to-day lives. We submit this message to you and allow you to do what you desire. In Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now what we're going to do next is go ahead and I'm going to pass it back to you, Evangelist Anita, and allow you to go ahead and kind of give an overview before we actually jump into and dive into this particular aspect of the message pertaining to peace. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rabbi John. Last week, the title of the message was How to Obtain and Maintain Peace in the Midst of the Storm. The scripture teaching was from Mark 4, verses 30 through 34. And here's a quick summary. Yeshua wanted to make sure his disciples understood the parable. And as Rabbi was telling us, the moment the word is spoken, two things can occur. The enemy will try to take the word immediately from your mind, or the word, remember, is always connected to propel you into your divine purpose. The blessings have to come or will come through our obedience, faith, to act on it. Actions must already be done before you speak. If you don't do the actions, you will suffer. No time to debate at the theory, faith, religion, or anything. In this parable, you'll notice that when Yeshua dismissed the people, he told his disciples, it was him and his disciples that got on the boat. And there were a few people who, through their disobedience, got on other little ships to follow. As Rabbi noted, Yeshua was asleep in the back of the boat, and it was a test. What were they going to do with their faith? Were they going to be victorious? Victory brings blessings. Tragedy and chaos brings curses. Disciplines will help you to understand and get a clear understanding, and pain will help also. But it's not Yah's desire. He is tired of our disobedience. Also understand this. Only the brides will make it. Make sure that Yeshua is in your spiritual ship. Satan will not leave us alone just because we have Yeshua. Yeshua is with you so that you can use him. We need to be very sober in our relationship with Yeshua. And I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. So jumping back from there, we're going to begin to go into, and I'm going to go ahead and give our reference scripture at this time. And that reference scripture is Psalms 146, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to be reading that primarily in the King James. But I want to make sure that those of you that are taking notes, I want you to begin to highlight or circle, if you do that in your Bible or on a piece of paper, verse 3, because verse 3 is what we're going to begin to diagnose and kind of dissect that in an aspect of how that works within us and how we are supposed to follow that particular passage of Scripture. All right, so Evangelist Anita, if you have that already, if you can go ahead and read that 146, and that's Psalms 146, verses 1 through 3, with an emphasis and a focus on verse 3.
Yes, sir. Psalms 146, verses 1 through 3, King James Version. Praise ye the Lord, Yahuwah. Praise the Lord, Yahuwah. O my soul, while I live, I will praise Yahuwah. I will sing praises unto Yah while I have any being, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help.
Okay, now we're going to look at a couple of other verses, because I'm sure, as I did, I'm sure that as soon as you heard the Son of Man, the first thing that most of us think about is Yeshua or Jesus Christ. But, of course, we're talking Old Testament, and when you begin to look at it in a more literal aspect or a little version of it, I'm going to give you a couple of versions that kind of gives a bit of clarity, in my opinion. And that is, I'm reading in the New American Standard Bible, and it says, "Do not trust in princes, in immortal man, in whom there is no salvation." Okay, and then in the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. I'm going to read that one again because that really resonates. It says, don't put your confidence or your trust in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Now, when we look at the word trust here in the Hebrew, there's quite a few different translations of trust, or and this one is batak. Now that batak is not like what most most individuals that learn the word trust in Hebrew, they run into the word emet. Okay, this is different than that word in the sense that this is talking about your confidence, being confident or beginning to rely on an individual. It's more than hope, and it's not as strong as belief, but you're beginning to rely. You're beginning to start to say, you know, I trusted them with this, and they came through for me. And then I trusted them with that, and they came through for me. So you're beginning to get into the emit. You're beginning to believe wholeheartedly with 100% of your faith that this person or this situation is going to happen for you and is going to be there for you. Okay? Batak has, as its Hebrew spelling, it has bet, tet, and het. Now, for those of you that are like, okay, so what did he just say? And what's the relevance of that one? This is the relevance. As we've said before, it's important for us to give you an understanding of why Hebrew is so important. It's not important so that you can speak another language. It's important so that you can understand that it has within it the code that God is trying to say to you and me. It has the definition of the word. So when God speaks a word in Hebrew, not only giving an individual instruction, he's also giving them the understanding of what they need to do. So with the word bet, or the letter bet in bata, that lets you know that that's talking about a family. Part of that letter definition is family, in, and floor plan. So bet is talking about a family. Now, bet is, of course, the first letter of the word that was used for trust in this particular passage in verse 3. Okay? The next word is tet. Tet is talking about mud enclosing something. It's almost like you're casting something in mud. I know that when I was in elementary school, we would make these little, I guess you would call them little bowls of a sort, and we'd have to make a cast, and that cast would cover that whole entire external part of that bowl, and then we would pour a mixture in there and then heat it up. That mold is the understanding of that letter tet that makes that T sound in the word batat. Now, that CH sound that you have at the end is het. Now, het has as its definition, the letter definition for that particular word, okay, is half, outside, from that outside or half outside gives you the indication or the understanding that something is outside of where they need to be or where it should be, okay? So the word patak, when you begin to add those definitions of those letters together, it begins to paint a picture of a family that casing or the molding that keeps them from the outside elements. Now, how does that work with the word trust? In other words, with trust, as I'm beginning to trust you, then anything outside of our relationship, you know, doubts, fears, insecurities, just not having enough proof that you're trustworthy or that you're worth me putting all of my trust in you, is beginning to dissipate. In this particular passage, it's saying that you're putting that particular trust, you're getting to a place to where you're getting ready to trust powerful people. And the Father is saying, don't put your trust in powerful people. Keep your trust in me. We're facing a catastrophic epidemic, actually a pandemic. And it's too easy to get in fear right now. It's too easy to begin to lose your ability to trust that the Father is going to do in you in the manner in which he promised that he would. Understand, the faith factor is something that has been so convoluted in our Christian world, in our Christian practice, because from a Hebraic standpoint, faith is something that you have to act on. It's something that has to manifest in your life. And it's manifest through the obedience of what he said in his word. Following that obedience is what brings that peace that we all need. Even when obstacles come, even when you hear a negative report, when you hear these reports, one of the most important things that you have to do is to remember your God. David is an excellent example, King David, and I use him a lot. And the reason why I do is because I can relate to him. I can relate to him. When he saw Goliath, we all know that was not his first incident with adversity. He dealt with adversity as a shepherd, when no one was around. He tested the Father's protection and his peace when no one was there. When adversity begins to set its face at you in a manner of speaking, when it begins to growl at you, when it begins to test your resolve, that's when you have to remember your God. If it's not well with your soul, now remember, your soul is made up of what? Three things. What are your? Give us those three things that our soul is made up of, Evangelist Daniel.
Yes, our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions.
So, Evangelist Anita, if my mind is being bombarded with negative thoughts pertaining to the disease and situations that are happening around me, then I cannot be at peace.
No.
Because all three aspects of my soul have to be in check. They have to be in right relationship with Yah. So that means my mind has to be cleared of the negative thoughts. Now understand, I'm not saying not to follow the instructions that we have been given. I'm saying do not allow your mind to be focused on the fear pertaining to those instructions. Don't allow your will to begin to give up your will or your resolve, to give up and take hold of those negative thoughts pertaining to those instructions. Allow your emotions to begin to just take over the situation. Once we get to the place, because that's what we all are striving for each and every day, is to get to a place to where our mind, our will, and our emotions stay in check. They must stay in check. I'm reminded of when I was in the military, and I enjoyed my military experience. Not everybody did, but I did. But there was a situation that with the unit that we were with, where we were getting ready to go on a mission. And in this particular scenario, unbeknown to us, they didn't need everyone to go on this particular mission. And I had the peace of God in me that I wasn't going to go. Now, a lot of my comrades, a lot of my buddies were looking at me and they were like, you know, you're thinking that you're not going on this mission, don't you? And, you know, I kept that information to myself and I said, well, that's what they say. They say that we're going on the mission. And I would always say, that's what they say. I didn't get emotional about it. I didn't get in fear about it. I just retorted the same thing that was told me. But in my inner man, I knew that God had told me that I wasn't going, that I wasn't going on this mission. And it came all the way up to the point to where we had all of our bags ready, and we were at a certain point getting ready to get on the airplane to go conduct this mission. And we were standing there, and they stopped us, and they took basically a roll call. And then after they took the roll call, they said the following individuals will not be going on this mission. And they called my name. Now, when they called my name, a lot of my comrades were like, what? You know, what the what? You know, because they knew that I had said only once, I had said, you know, that I didn't think I was going to go. I never doubted him, but I had his word on it. I had a relationship with him to where when I knew, number one, that it was him speaking to me, and it wasn't my emotion saying, you know, you don't want to go on this one. I knew that my resolve was connected with him. My relationship was being tested. Our relationship with the Father God is being tested at this hour, at this time. Now, many of us that are following Torah are also following the unleavened bread. And for us, we are right in the middle. This is the fourth day, so we're right in the middle of unleavened bread. And the spiritual counterpart to unleavened bread is to begin to not just make sure that there's no sin in you, but as you are dealing with any kamat, any sin, any yeast, spiritually speaking, and making sure that no yeast is taken, but you're also supposed to be putting more faith and relationship, building that relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, that's important because as we continue to go on, you're going to see it's not just don't do the bad things, but it's also refortify the good things, the obedience. The Father's so into obedience to his word, obedience to what you hear him say to you. This is what he's looking for in us right now, and this is what he's looking for us. We talked about Batak, and part of understanding that particular word is that word is almost like an English cliche that I've heard most of my life, and it's I'm all in, or another phrase that you may have heard is I'm sold out. You're supposed to be sold out. You're supposed to be all in, but we have to be careful who or what we are putting our faith in. Because fear is just it's using faith in the opposite construct and understanding of what God has called you to use it for. Your faith is going to be used every single day. You need to make sure you understand that. Your faith can either be used to fear, or your faith can be used to believe that the Father is giving you the peace that passes all the natural worldly understanding so that you can and will live victorious. You will be who he's called you to be and be protected by him. But the faith or that trust that we were talking about earlier. We have to make sure that we are appropriating that in the manner in which it should be appropriated. Now, eventually, Anita, I'd like for you to go to John chapter 14 in verse 27. Okay? And while she's going there, the King James. Yeah, the King James.
Yeah, okay.
While you're while she's going there, understand that every decision or indecision that you and I make, every single one is going to determine how our faith is used. And it will be used to either appropriate the peace of God that you deserve and that I deserve each and every day, because new mercies are laid up every day, or it will appropriate fear and destruction. Because, you know, your cortisol levels will go up, you know, anxiety and just all of this kind of stuff. And your body's like, okay, you know, you want to burn out? Fine. You know, I have no choice in the matter. Amen? All right.
Amen.
If you have that passage of scripture, if you can go ahead and read that.
Okay. John 14, starting at verse 24, Rabbi?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Yeshua, or Jesus, was getting ready to leave them. He knew that he was getting ready to be crucified. He knew that he was going to leave them with the mission, and that they were going to have to, in their mindset, do it alone. But even in what they considered loneliness, he left them with the Holy Spirit. And he was making sure that they understood that I'm not just leaving you with the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you my peace. Now, for some of them, that resonated because they were like, whoa, you're talking about the peace that you used when you told us to go on the other side of the Galilee? And the storms were coming, and we knew that we were going to sink, and so we woke you up, and then you said, peace, be still. You're talking about that anointing of peace you're giving to us? And the answer is yes. But understand, we can only appropriate that powerful peace that he appropriated if it is well with our soul, if our mind, will, and emotion are in line. Sometimes we try to appropriate that peace, but our mind's not there. Or our will, our resolve has failed us. Or our emotions are all over the place. All three of those have to be in sync. If they're not in sync, then that peace, that powerful peace that he's talking about here, is not available for me. It's not available for you. Mm-hmm. Even though it belongs to you, you can't appropriate it. Why? Because I have not gotten myself to the place of that word that we just found out, that Hebrew word that we were using, batak. I have not gotten it completely whole, with the understanding which I need in order to operate and to flow into that anointing. We can't obtain nor maintain that divine peace that Yeshua walked in when fear is in our heart. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of what it looks like when a person has dealt with all three of those elements of their soul and how they can appropriate that peace. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 7 through 23. Now, for most of you, that you probably realize, he's going to be talking about the three Hebrew boys. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely right. But I want it to be read so that you can see the type of peace that these three young men had in the midst of a catastrophic situation. And that's Daniel chapter 3, verse 7 through 23 in the King James. And if you're ready, Evangelist Anita, you can go ahead and read that.
Yes, sir. I
Daniel chapter 3.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Go ahead and read.
Okay. My apologies. Everything is sticking now.
That's okay. Daniel chapter 3, verses 7 through 23 in the King James. Okay, now while she's getting it, I'm going to tell you the backstory, and then you just let me know when you get it, Evangelist Tamir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. We know that the three Hebrew boys were supposed to bow as soon as the trumpet sounded, based upon an image of King Nebuchadnezzar. We also are very much aware that as in all of our lives, you've got those individuals that are just looking for your bad to happen. They're looking for you to never succeed and never amount to who and be what God has called you to be. They just don't want good things to happen for you. I mean, they go out of their way to make sure that you're having a bad day. You know? And, of course, with the three Hebrew boys, they had individuals that are definitely on the opposing team. And as soon as they would not bow, these individuals went to the king and pointed them out and said, hey, there are some Jews, you know, those guys over there, there are some Jews that just will not obey you, king. I mean, you know, you got a great kingdom, you know, things are going great, but those Jews over there, they're troublemakers. They don't want to submit to authority, and they don't want to do what you called and what you've mandated for the whole kingdom to do. Okay? Evangelist Jenny, if you have that, you can go ahead and read.
Yes. Starting at verse 7 on Daniel chapter 3, King James Version. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, and dulcimer, did I pronounce that right, Rabbi?
Yes. Yeah.
And all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews who had set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now that ye be ready, that at what time ye heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, all kinds of music, ye fell down and worshiped the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
Stop there for just a second. All right. We have a little bit of a delay, so that's the reason why, if you're wondering why when I say stop, she goes further, it's because of the delay on the broadcast. All right. But keep this in mind. Nebuchadnezzar was aware. He was aware of who God was. And he was aware of the Son of God. He was aware of him. He recognized and knew who he was. We're going to find this out as we go further into this passage. But it's, and the reason why that's important is because it's important to understand that the Hebrew Israelites knew that Nebuchadnezzar knew who God was. So they were not trying to be rebellious against an individual that did not know who God was. They knew that he knew. They were trying to be respectful to him, but the ordinance that he made was an ordinance that was opposite and opposing to the God of Abraham, Isaac, at this time, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So for him to do that, he was going into idolatry, and they knew it. They had to obey the higher law or the higher instructions that they were given by God. Continue to read.
Starting at verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, Yah, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace.
All right,
these
could you stop
men,
for just a second? Okay. Now, keep this in mind. We said that in order for you or I to have perfect peace, my mind, my will, and my emotions have to be in sync with God's purpose. Now, I'm sure some of you are thought that the moment that you realize that you were getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace, your body would react. Some of us might even run. Okay?
Amen.
But, all right? And definitely, if we didn't run, some others of us would definitely be struggling with those mighty men. Okay?
Yes.
As they were trying to bind us and wrap us up and get us ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But note here, they were in perfect peace. And they were so in perfect peace that they said, whether the Father, our Heavenly Father, comes to our rescue or not, this is a violation of His Torah. This is a violation of his instructions. We can't do this because it's a violation of his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we're going to stand. We're, you know, you do what you have to do. We respect that. But we have to do what we have to do. And we have to respect that. So in this particular, and I'll let you finish, but in this particular passage, you pick up real quick that their mind, will, and emotions are made up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running. They're not screaming. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not calling for mommy. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They are set like a flint. That's when we can pull from that peace that Yeshua has given to all of us. That's the only time we can pull from it. Continue to read.
Yes. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes,
all right, you can stop.
Governors.
I know it's getting good. but you see, King Nebuchadnezzar knew who the Son of Man was. He recognized him. He recognized him. And he knew at that particular point that the very statement that he had made, as in earlier, who is going to deliver you? You know, what God is going to deliver you? He got an eyewitness account to see that manifestation. All right. Now, the next one, before we run out of time here, the next one's also in Daniel. And this is a familiar one as well. And that's Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 24. Okay. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 24. Now, this is a different king. This is King Darius. Okay. And under King Darius, he was with the Medes and the Persians. Hard to get that out, right? from Persia. They had a decree, and the manner in which they conducted their governmental affairs was that whenever they made a decree, you could not cancel that decree. It was permanent. So in this particular background story, Daniel was doing so well that King Darius wanted to promote him above his whole realm of officers. Now, the officers got wind of this. And before that decree manifested, because remember, whatever decree is decreed, it's permanent, they sought a plot to try to get Daniel in trouble so that he wouldn't receive that promotion. Now, I'm sure there's no one out there in the sound of my voice that have went through anything like this at the workplace, where you have individuals that are so jealous of you and the promotion that you're about to get, that they want to devise a plan, look bad, so that you are disqualified from that promotion. What happens here, and most of you know the story, what happens here is they trick the king into making a decree that they knew was going to violate the relationship and challenge the relationship of Daniel and the manner in which he prays three times a day. Now, what was also awesome about this story, and most of you are probably aware of it, but it's noteworthy, is that only thing that these officers could find that could remotely cause them to be able to try to trick the king into demoting Daniel. His walk, his relationship, his attitude was such to where the only thing that they could do is to try to bid Daniel's God against the mighty empire and the legislation of the Medes and the Persians. Can you go ahead and read?
Yes, Daniel chapter 6.
And this one you can, if you'd like to, this one you can read in the Amplified.
Oh, okay, I'll change it.
Okay. But I want everyone, as she's getting it prepared, I want you to note how deceptive and how devious the individuals were that were in cahoots to try to demote and destroy, to totally get rid of Daniel. I mean, by having them go into the lion's den, which is one of the punishments that were there, they wanted to totally get rid of him. I mean, because there was nothing that they could put on him that in any way, any shape, form, or fashion that could shed any negative light so that they would have a leg up, that they would have an opportunity to bypass him and they could get that promotion. Go ahead and read now.
Yes. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 1, Amplified. It seemed good to Darius, who became king after Belshazzar, to appoint over the kingdom 120 satraps who would be in charge throughout the kingdom, and over them three chief commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, so that the king would have no loss from disloyalty or mismanagement. Then this Daniel became an extraordinary spirit within him, began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire realm. Then the two other commissioners and the satraps began to find a reason to bring a complaint against Daniel concerning the administration of the kingdom, but they could find no reason for an accusation or evidence of corruption, because he was faithful, a man of high moral character and personal integrity, and no negligence or corruption of any kind was found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any basis for an accusation against this Daniel unless we find something against him in connection with the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps agreed to approach the king and said to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have consulted and agreed together that the king should establish a royal status and enforce an injunction that anyone who petitions, prays to any god or man besides you, O king, during the next 30 days shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign so that it may not be changed in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which ensures that it may not be altered or revoked. So King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he went into his house. Now, in his roof chamber, his windows were open towards Jerusalem. He continued to get down on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then, by agreement, these men came together and found Daniel praying and making requests before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king regarding his injunction. Have you not signed an injunction that if anyone who petitions, prays to any god or man except you, O king, in the designated 30 days, is to be thrown into the den of lions? The king answered, the statement is true in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be altered or revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, one who is of the exiles from Judah, does not pay any attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you have signed, but keeps praying to his God 3 times a day. Then, as soon as the king heard these words, he was deeply distressed over what he had done and set his mind on rescuing Daniel. And he struggled until the sun went down, trying to work out a way to save him. Then, by agreement, these same men came to the king and said, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king established may be altered or revoked. Verse 16, the king gave a command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you constantly serve, rescue you himself. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king filled it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no music or entertainment was brought before him. He remained unable to sleep. King arose at dawn, at the break of the day, and hurried to the den of lions. When he had come near the den, he called out to Daniel with a troubled voice. The king said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lions so that they may not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also before you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king
was greatly
pleased. All right,
if you stop for a second. Stop for just a second. Okay. Real quick, just before you close this out, there's a lot in this, but I wanted you to hear it in its entirety because I wanted you to understand that Daniel was getting ready to get promoted. No different than the three Hebrew boys. There's a pattern in promotion, pattern in allowing your peace to propel you into your promotion. When tragedy comes, if your peace is intact, if you are where you need to be, if your mind, will, and emotions are so infused with God and so focused on doing and being all that he's called to be, to where the integrity is seen and felt by others, then understand that this is the methodology that the Father has placed for your promotion. The Father causes the devil to promote you. The Father causes evil individuals to promote you. The Father causes catastrophic situations to promote you. We are in a season of tremendous promotion. We're in that season. And in that season is when your peace, my peace, that has been appropriated by Yeshua, by Jesus Christ, needs to be at its optimum form. That means my mind, my will, and my emotions need to be so in sync so that I can speak and say what Daniel said. Now, the very individual, think about this for a second, the very individual that made a decree didn't call me to the office and say, hey, Daniel, I'm getting ready to put you over all of my affairs. And I just had a situation happen with some of your soon-to-be subordinates that want this particular law to be in place. What's your opinion? Since you're going to be receiving the full delegation, you're going to be my VIP. That was never done. Please don't miss that. And the king realized, you best believe, that the moment that he signed it, and then they came back and tricked him, he realized that he had disrespected the very VIP that he's getting ready to delegate over all of his kingdom. He never called him in, never asked him his opinion, didn't send him an email, didn't send him a text, didn't send him an Instagram. He fell for the flattery of these officers. And still, Daniel, still, he's so focused and he's so in sync and so has such a strong relationship with Yah, with God, that he still keeps the authority and the respect office of the king. Now that is a person that is so saturated in the perfect peace of God, the divine presence of God, to where nothing catastrophic can harm him. And let's hear, like Paul Harvey says, let's hear the rest of the story. Go ahead and read.
Yes.
Finish to me.
The last two, yes, I'm sorry, I was muted. The last two verses. Then the king was greatly pleased and ordered that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in and relied on and trusted in his God. The king then gave a command, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones.
Thank you. So, in closing, let's recap. Promotion comes through catastrophic situations. Fear tries to grip us during those particular times to get us in such a disarray to either connect with our emotions our will or our mind. Because the adversary knows that you need all three of those to be able to truly say before God, it is well with my soul. You need all three of those in sync. Yeshua did not, Jesus was not ready to die. And when he had his Garden of Gethsemane moment, he went and prayed three times to get those three areas in check. We need to do that on a daily basis. What's in our mind? We need to check our resolve. And we need to make sure that our emotions stay in check. Then we can appropriate and pull from this power and authority of peace, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. Then we can know that our God is God over all of the affairs of life that concern us. So next time we're going to dive more into the soulish area to make sure we have a good handle on how to keep the mind, the will, and the emotions in check on a daily basis, so that peace will always be there, like it was for Daniel, like it was for the three Hebrew boys, like it was for Yeshua. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we understand and I understand that we have an adversary. And the adversary doesn't have the limitations that we have in our body. And because of that, that adversary can continue to knock at our door until he finds us at our weakest point, either in our mind or our will or our emotion. And then try to take advantage of stealing our peace and our joy so that our relationship is hindered between us and our Yah, our God. There's a stressor between us and Yeshua, us and Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we begin to fulfill all of the requirements that are necessary for us in our homes pertaining to this virus, help us, Father, even the more to fixate our hearts and our minds upon you. Allow us to put at rest any anxieties, any fears, any trepidation and just frustrations, any accusations that the enemy is pointing to us, trying to get us to buy into those thoughts. Father, help us to put our trust in you. Even if our job is on the line or if it's already gone, help us to put our trust in you. Can say, like Yeshua said, to that storm. We can say to the storms in our life, to desist and be still. Because I put my faith and my trust in my God. I pray to my God three times a day, minimum. I walk with my God to protect me and my family from this disease. Testimonies of how my God delivered me, how my God delivered my family, how my God is keeping us through this storm. And we build up our most holy faith by ensuring that our mind, our will, and our emotions stay in line. We speak to those and we say, you will stay in line. That your word resonates in us and through us and with us. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Evangelist Anita, if you would, if you could, for the next couple of minutes, if you could give our viewers information pertaining to the tithes and offering and just some of the other things that we're doing as far as dual college and things of that nature at this time.
Yes. Thank you, Rabbi John. Just so you all know, there are two ways in which you can research information about our ministry, which is Beth Hashem Ministries. The first one is the website, which is www.bethhashem.org. That is BethHashem.org. We have a Facebook page called www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. For those that have the newsletter or you that desire to become a part of the newsletter distribution, if you'll just let us know, we'll add you to that distribution. But just so you know, we have on our newsletter this week's order of service. The first one is the Torah adult story, which is what Rabbi just gave you live. We have the tithe and offering message, which is presented by Minister Steve. We have links for you to listen, to click on and listen. And we also have the PDF documents in Spanish as well as Portuguese. You'll also notice that there are instructions for giving tithe. One of the ways is the Cash mobile app. You'll use the Cash mobile app to make a contribution, and you can send it to the following link, which is https://cash.app/$BETHASHEM. For U.S. mail, please mail your checks to Congregation Beth Hashem, 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. Or you can utilize your bank's online pay feature. You will enter 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704 as the address. AC checks will be mailed directly to Beth Hashem by your processing center. For more information about Zuhl College, which is also on our website link, if you would like to attend Zuhl College, you can always email us at office@bethhashem.org. Just as another note, one of the other things that we're offering is Hebrew immersion study, and that will give you more of a Hebraic understanding. As Rabbi shared in the services today, the alphabet, the Hebraic letters. Pastor Andre does an excellent job of teaching, and you can view a video. There is an alphabet song as well as a Hebrew handout. For Children's Church, those that have children that desire to learn, we have Children's Church material for each week. We have a primary and elementary document. And these are worksheets that go along with the teacher's notes, but we also have color sheets and trivia sheets. And for those that may desire to listen to any previous broadcasts, ask the Messianic Rabbi. We have a link for you to click on, and you can go to those also. And I'll hand it back over to you. Thank you all for attending the show. I'll hand it back over to Rabbi John.
Amen. You did an excellent job. And I thank you for not only for listening, I pray that you also apply what you've heard, because it works in the manner in which God has called it to work, because it's his word, and his word will not come back to him void. Now, that doesn't mean that if you or I don't engage, that it's going to work for us anyway. No, it just means that the word will find those who will work the word, who will put forth the faith, who will make sure that their mind, their will, and their emotions are intact. And that word will bring the desired result that the Father has already spoken. But for you and I, if we don't fulfill those aspects that were already mentioned, it will not work for us. And you're going to get frustrated. you're going to get disillusioned. You're going to start losing your relationship with God, your faith in God, your faith in Yeshua. And you'll find yourself in a manner of speaking in a backslidden state. And that is all for naught, because that's not the Father's desire for you or for me. That's why this next message pertaining to the mind, the will, and emotion, and how to check to see where your mind and will and emotions are, and how to reboot or repurpose certain things in your life so that you get yourself right with Him, is so terribly important. And some of the best ways to do that, and the best way to do that, is to also submit yourself to His feet that are found in His Word. And we'll talk a little bit more about that the next time with the next broadcast. Until next time, appropriate the peace of God, because it's there for you. It's there for me. Shalom, shalom.